Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus was going through a field of grain on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "See, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God and ate the bread of offering, which neither he nor his companions, but only the priests, could lawfully eat? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests serving in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I say to you, something greater than the temple is here. If you knew what this meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned these innocent men. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. In this extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, it's important for us to come back time and again, because the Lord comes back time and again to these words from the prophet Hosea. We heard them first when the scribes and the Pharisees were complaining at Jesus' calling Matthew to himself and then eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus, reading their hearts, said, "Go and learn the meaning of the words. It is mercy I desire, not sacrifice. It's not the sick who need, it's not the healthy who need the physician, but the sick." That's how Jesus wants to relate, and he wants mercy. Today we have a second example. The apostles are going through a field of grain on the Sabbath. You could tell just how hungry they were. Could tell how they had no food, that they were doing what was totally lawful according to the book of Deuteronomy on the surface. It wasn't the sin of stealing to pick heads of grain if you were hungry and you were walking. What the scribes and the Pharisees forbade, according to their rigid fences that they would draw around things like the third commandment to keep holy the Lord's Day, that they said you couldn't keep holy the Lord's Day if you did any type of work at all. And so they were violating the Sabbath in three ways. First, by the action of actually grabbing a grain. Second, by the threshing of the grain in their hands. And third, by preparing for themselves something to eat that day. Those who are complaining much preferred that the apostles go without any food, as if that would be God's will, who wants to rain down each night in some way or another heavenly manna in response to the prayer Jesus would teach us, "Give us today our daily bread." They thought that God would be more glorified by his sons and daughters going hungry than by violating this law so that they would eat. And so Jesus stuck up and defended them, and at the same time he was teaching them and us a crucially important principle. He gave two scriptural citations because they took scripture very seriously. The first was from King David and was a direct allusion to the fact that Jesus was claiming to be a Messiah, which would be confirmed at the end of today's reading. "Did you not hear what David did when Abiathar was the high priest? And we went into the temple area and took the 6 showbread." There were always 12 showbread there. 6 would be replaced each week. "Take the 6 showbread that had been taken away and given to the priest that only the priest could eat, and how he ate them because they were doing God's work, fighting for the Lord, and they were hungry. And there were certain principles that were much higher than those liturgical prescriptions that were not in the Mosaic Law. And nobody castigated David for doing that because they all recognized that that was the prudent and holy thing to do. Second thing Jesus described was what happens in the temple. Nobody works harder on the Sabbath day than the priests, sacrificing all of the animals, cleaning up the blood, burning it, doing the incense. Far greater work than what the apostles had just done in grabbing and threshing and eating grain. And if the priests were not in violation of the Sabbath, precisely because they were doing the work of God, and the work of God is not prohibited by God on the Sabbath, how could they castigate these men? And that led to the conclusion, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. We see how much God desires mercy in today's first reading. When King Hezekiah, who was one of the best of the descendants of David, but had begun to get afraid of the Ammonites who were at the gates, essentially, and doubted for a little while the Lord, he was going to have to render an account. And so Isaiah came and said, put your house in order, for you're about to die, you shall not recover. And Hezekiah very piously turned his face to the wall, turned away from the crowd, turned toward God, and prayed, how faithfully and wholeheartedly I conducted myself in your presence, O Lord, doing what was pleasing to you. And he wept bitterly. Wept because he wanted continuously to please the Lord, and he knew that he hadn't. And the Lord was moved. And so Isaiah went to him and said, thus says the Lord, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I will heal you. In 3 days, again, no coincidence in that number. In 3 days, you shall go up to the Lord's temple, and I'll add 15 years to his life. He was now almost 15 years into his tenure, so he was going to double his tenure. I'll rescue you from the city in the hand of the king of Assyria, and I'll be a shield to the city. God was showing Hezekiah, and through Hezekiah, all the people of Judah, his mercy, because that's what he desires to do most of all. And Hezekiah spent those last 15 years leading the people of Judah to worship the Lord by his own example. When mercy is well received, it brings people to relate to the Lord aright. And today we have the feast of the great doctor of the church, St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure has a huge reputation for holiness, and it's well deserved. But early in life, he didn't relate to the Lord fundamentally on the basis of mercy. He related to the Lord fundamentally on the basis of sin. And even though somebody much later in life, one of his spiritual directors said, I'm not really sure he had ever committed a mortal sin, Bonaventure would eat himself alive over all of his infractions, and his real focus was fundamentally on himself. But he prayed to the Lord to be delivered from it, and the Lord responded with great mercy. And from that point forward, St. Bonaventure, within the Franciscans first, and then in the classroom, and then as the Cardinal Archbishop of Albano and the right hand to Pope Gregory X, kept proclaiming that mystery of Christ's own mercy. Today in the breviary, we read one of his most famous passages from his Itinerary into the Mind of God. And God's mind is always about mercy. And that itinerary, as we see at the beginning, focuses on the Passover that occurs when we really look at Jesus on the cross, the one who who from Calvary took away our sins, the one who was praying that the Father be merciful to us, for we didn't know what we were doing. And that was, in essence, the bridge. The cross is the bridge that leads us over the Red Sea, St. Bonaventure said. And he wanted to bring us more and more into the mind of God, into the heart of God, into the will of God, which is merciful. But in order for us to do that, we constantly need to convert from our categories of security. And so we gave those contrasts today. I wish I could memorize them all from heart, but I'm not 15 anymore. And so if you'll permit me, I just want to do a little bit of a gloss with you. He said, if you're going to enter into this mystery, seek God's grace, not doctrine. Doesn't mean that we never seek the doctrine of the church, but we prioritize God's mercy, because God's grace, our participation in God's nature as creatures, that's what grace means, is always merciful. Do we seek that mercy more than we do security and teaching? Seek the longing of his will, not the understanding. Again, the longing of his will is merciful. We may not understand it. We can't be obsessed about the understanding, because we know it's the fact of his will. The size of prayer, not research. Again, he was the great doctor of the church and the great teacher with Thomas Aquinas of the 13th century, and he's saying there's something far greater than study. It's the size of prayer. God wants us to open ourselves up to him in prayer. Seek the bridegroom, not the teacher. Again, the real lover of your soul, who will lay down his life by water and the word to make you holy, to make you spotless and unblemished in his sight, who will put into fulfillment the plan announced by Hosea when, in a prophetic oath, he married a prostitute and helped her to become truly faithful over the course of time. God and not man. So to order all of our relationships by God and his divine mercy rather than man and his sense of justice. Finally, darkness, not daylight. That we're not going to be able to see everything clearly, but we're unafraid to enter into that mystery, knowing that the Good Shepherd with his rod and his staff will lead us through that dark valley to the eternal light. But we seek the Lord in the darkness rather than seek again to see everything in broad daylight. Look not to the light, but rather to the raging fire that carries the soul to God with intense fervor and glowing love. God's mercy is this raging fire that will bring us into the heart of God. Itinerarium in mentis Deum. This journey into God's very being. How do we do this? How do we seek, as he says, God's grace, the longing of his will, the sighs of prayer, the bridegroom, God, and in a sense, an illuminating darkness? St. Bonaventure would urge us to do it in the same way that he would start every day at the altar. This is the means by which we encounter God in his merciful will. As a young priest, he wrote a prayer to help consolidate the graces of every Mass. The Church continues to put it in all of the prayer books. It's called the Transfige. Transfix me, Lord. Totally fascinate me and change me by my encounter with your mercy. I'd like to finish with those words of St. Bonaventure, which point precisely to what the Lord's will is for us, and how our hunger shouldn't be leading us merely to pluck heads of grain in order to feed our bodies, but with both hands and both arms to pluck everything we can of God's grace. Pierce, O most sweet Lord Jesus, my inmost soul with the most joyous and healthy wound of your love, and with true calm and most apostolic charity, that my soul may ever languish and melt with full love and longing for you, may yearn for you in your courts, may long to be dissolved and to be with you. Grant that my soul may hunger after you, the bread of angels, the refreshment of holy souls, our daily and supersubstantial bread, having all sweetness and savor with every delightful taste. May my heart ever hunger after and feed upon you, whom the angels desire to look upon. And may my inmost soul be filled with the sweetness of your savor. Again, we've got all of these verbs focusing on hunger and thirst and longing and desire. To change our will, to unite ourselves to His will, to show us mercy and to make us His mercy in the world. May it ever thirst for you, the fountain of life, the fountain of wisdom and knowledge, the fountain of eternal life, the torrent of pleasure, the fullness of God's house. May it ever compass you, seek you, find you, run to you, come up to you, meditate on you, speak of you, and do all for the praise and glory of your name, with humility and discretion, love and delight, ease and affection, and perseverance to the end. And be yours alone ever, my hope, my entire confidence, my riches, my delight, my pleasure, my joy, my rest, my tranquility, my peace, my sweetness, my food, my refreshment, my refuge, my help, my wisdom, my portion, my possession, my treasure. You can almost say my all. In whom may my mind and my heart be ever fixed and firmed and rooted immovably. Amen. St. Bonaventure would become transfixed by this transformative union every day. Gazing on Christ in the crucifix, he would pass over from the old man to the new, pass over from himself to God's merciful embrace, and pass ultimately from earth to heaven. Today we ask his intercession that we may be likewise transfixed by the mercy of God incarnate, whom we're about to ingest.